You all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. On the light. Now the first three buttons in front of you. One more. No, one more, this one. No, the one on your left. Okay. So now we're supposed to have our sharing. Q&A reporting of meditation followed by Dhamma sharing via the review of the Heart Sutta Dhamma book. Okay. Anybody who has any meditation reporting to share or any question you are keen to ask, you can ask. Anybody? You just raise your hand. Brother Wong, yes.
Hi, good morning, Paritio and the rest of the Kalyanamita. First of all, I would like to share this morning 5:30 of the Mahanis chanting this morning. So it's quite an amazing experience for me. Because when I start chanting and follow you are like submitting yourself into something very natural. There's a reciprocal feeling that the chanting sound come to me and I go outside of my awareness. It's sort of handshaking where you found that there's a lot of vibrations to the heart area. And it's actually softened my heartbeat. Likewise, I'm also aware of the external surrounding of the whole chanting hall. That is quite a remarkable experience for me.
Very good. Is this the first time?
Yeah, first time.
You see, when you have affinity with some of this Mahayana chanting, your mind, consciousness and body will respond. Because the inner will know. So when it responds, you feel good. Then that vibration that has an effect on you will manifest is whatever movement that is meant to be, to unfold. That's why for her, for him, sorry, Brother Wong, he will feel it. Then he will feel the way he described it. But later on, if you continue to have faith, faith is very important, then you silence your mind and you let your whole being submerge into the vibration. Then you realize that vibration will keep on activating your whole bodily vibration. Then it will detect whatever it needs. Then you feel very soothing. The only thing you must avoid is to resist. Don't resist. Have faith, relax. Whatever you relax into, it will not be dangerous to you. But whatever you absorb, and if you don't relax into it, then it can, at times, create problem. But for this type of experience, if you find it soothing, conducive, you just relax into it and allow your whole being to be with it. When you can do that, you will experience a lot of things that is very beneficial to yourself. Then without you knowing it, a lot of things will happen. Then after you come out, you become more mindful, more aware. Then as you come back to the meditation hall, you do your sitting all, you will become different. Very good, Sadhu. Anything else? Okay, you continue to speak.
Sorry. Now, Just now I try out, this is my first time trying out for the lying down meditation. Very something new to me. Just share with Brother Teo and the rest of Kalanamita that my first, just for the first few minutes when I lie down, I can see my heartbeat very strong.
Oh, very good.
keep on pumping, and I feel that the neck area are also pumping together.
A lot of vibration.
Yeah. A lot of vibration, and also on the pulses on the fingers, all in sync to the
very
heartbeat.
Very good, very good. Means your mindfulness has starts to slowly develop. Yeah. So when you experience that, what you should do is remember the four support, especially the first three. Continue to relax into it and let that vibration move on its own. After a while, it will slow down, slow down, slow down. Then your mind will become very quiet, very still. That is the awareness developing. Because initially, without you knowing it, because you have not done the real awareness-based meditation, what happens is, within each and every one of us, our body, we have a lot of vibration. And these are very crude. You know what is the word crude, isn't it? C-R-U-D-E. Crude means, like the car, when it's out of tune, the vibration is like very crude, like a lot of sound. A lot of, that's why you hear a lot of vibration, like very loud and all things. The heart is like pounding, then the neck here or the vibration. But then as you continue to silent, relax, maintain awareness, don't try to know, don't try to be curious, just whatever arise, aware, silent, finish. Then you realize, without allowing the mind to continue to think, this mind will settle down. Then without the thought, it will return to its original state, which is your pure awareness nature. That pure awareness nature is your true mind, your silent mind. From there, all things arise. So you have to let it settle down. That's why I say continue to relax. When you continue to relax, don't try to know, don't try to do anything. You just let it settle down. Then observe through the silent mind. Not through a thought, observe through the silent mind. The silent will pick up and become aware of whatever that happened inside there. So during that time, if you are patient enough and your faith is there, you just relax into it. What happens is most people who have not developed the understanding of awareness-based meditation will not go into this type of awareness development. But to them, it's like they are not developing something that they're supposed to have, like wisdom and all those things. So they are keep on actively with the mundane mind, looking for vipassana, looking for wisdom. And there is a craving. And that one is a concept, an idea. But the real transformation is where you don't look. When you don't try to know, when there is no thought doing the meditation, then the true mind arises. Yeah. When that true mind arises, you will settle down. Then you will reach a point where the consciousness like shift from the noisy, crude vibration to a more refined vibration. Then you realize, for the first time in your life, you are in that state of quietness, stillness. Then when you continue to silently observe, you realize now your thought has become so much less. That is the true sati. That is the real awareness-based meditation. So don't go and do the opposite, which is thought-based, creating all the thinking. So for what Brother Wong go through is good. First time he tried the lying down, then he can detect all this. Means over the past few weeks or what, he very attentive and very serious about learning all this. So So he is trying to straighten his view and develop the faith to follow the instruction and try it out. And because of that, he managed to progress. That's why this is the beginning. When you can detect your heartbeat and your vibration without the stethoscope, no? The doctor need the stethoscope. No? For us, we don't need. No? We just relax, silent, then the heartbeat come. You lie down. In fact, to tell you the truth, you don't believe, you find out yourself. Every part of your body has vibration. Because the life force from our karmic nature that pumps the heart send off this heartbeat, the heartbeat that is manifested by the life force. And that itself is a vibration. That's why we call that the pulse of life. So this life force comes from our karmic nature. Come from our karmic nature. So this one pumps the heart. So when it pumps the heart, it sends out what we call the pulse of life. Now you understand. So this one, you can use this life force, which is the pulse of life, for you to meditate, to go into the inner awareness and let it do the movement and transformation. But most human beings doesn't understand. Because when this thing comes, it pumps your heart, you don't know how to relax. You actually resist. That's why a lot of people develop what we call heart attack, stress. And because you don't know how to relax, and you cannot absorb this life force. So what they do is, they use this to actually allow it to create emotion and thought and all those things to use up this life force. But the more you do that, the more what we call stress you become. Because all these emotions are very negative. Like your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your insecurity, your phobia. All these are negative tendencies. Yeah. Especially your anger, your desire, your craving. So all these negative tendencies take up a lot of your energy. But sometimes when you study, also it takes up your energy. Do you realize that? When you study, you concentrate. When I was in the uni, I remember, I eat a lot. I cannot put on weight on. But holiday, when I don't have to study, then the weight comes back. I have seen some university students, especially ladies, during the year-end exam time, they all slim down, like very pretty. But the moment after the 3-4 months long vacation, they come back, they balloon up again. So what happened is, this life force that pumps the heart, which is a pulse of life, if you know how to silence your mind, you will not use it to create psychological emotion. Then this life force can help you to meditate. Then when you are in the position to relax and let this move, this one will nourish your organ very well. That's why it will heal you. It will go and do everything that it's supposed to do. That's why the Chinese TCM people or those who do acupuncture, they know there is a clock they call biological clock, where different time this life force energy go and nourish different organ. That's why you need to rest, you need to sleep. When you sleep and rest, you're not supposed to resist, then it will heal by itself. And you know why doctor give you antihistamine? How many of you understand why doctor give you antihistamine when you have severe flu or whatever? Huh? You all don't understand. Antihistamine is to knock you off, isn't it? Correct or not? You eat already very sleepy. Huh? But nowadays they have a different type. Eat already not sleepy. Huh? But it also supposed to knock you off. And do you know antihistamine, if you know how to use it, it's very good. Yeah. If you take one tablet and relax, if you know how to do awareness-based meditation, this life force will go to your heart area, then it will actually locate the gateway without you knowing it. Yeah, you don't know how to do the fourth support, which is trust. Then when it happens, it does not resist, then this life force heal you. That's why you feel better after that. After you rest, take antihistamine, you're supposed to feel better. But most of you all don't know how to rest. That's why sometimes antihistamine doesn't help you at all. Yeah. So understanding this is very important, the powers of life. And this is the one that you can make use of. That's why in the year 1989, when I detected the gateway, when my last teacher told me where the gateway is, then he showed me where it is. The moment I detected it, I know what to do. I just relax, maintain awareness, then I already stabilize it. These three I already perfected. Then only this one, but I don't know where the gateway is. Then surprisingly, the moment I do this, all the energy went in. Melt inside, become pure energy. Then it like heal me. Then my whole vibration, like you know the car when you send for tuning, when it tune until it is perfect, the sound like no sound, very soothing. No sound, don't have that or very loud vibration, no more. All the crude on all one. And this is because that nature's life force, there is no resistance. That's why you don't dream, you don't have nightmare, you have good sleep. Then there is no resistance. Then you heal. Then you, when you wake up, you feel fresh. You feel you have recuperated. So those who know how to do awareness-based meditation, I remember initially, you only need 10 minutes rest. No matter how tired you are, you lie down, because naturally you know how to relax. Then that 10 to 15 minute rest really recuperate you and you feel very good. That's why in the early day, I don't need to really develop long rest. I just silence my mind, 5-10 minutes, or sometimes 10-15 minutes, I recover. But as I age, then I realize I need half an hour. Then later on, 1 hour, 2 hours. Then sometimes if I have flu or what, because of disease or something, I need to sleep overnight, one night like that. Then I recover. The next day I will recover. So all this, if you know how to develop this awareness-based meditation, you'll be very useful. Then you will understand all this. All this, nobody taught me. I never learned from anybody. Even my last guy also, they would tell me all this, but I found out on my own. Then at one stage, I realized this whole life force, I can just silence my mind and let the whole thing, almost 99.999% or 100%, go into my nature. Then it becomes pure energy. Then the pure energy just activate my internal nadis and chakra. Whatever that it's supposed to activate, it will activate. Then I become very different. I like a perfect body, free of like, I have never experienced that type of perfection of that body. It's like so perfect, like so well fine-tuned until like completely without any disease or problem. I remember during that time, I felt so good. Then for the first time, I realized this is beautiful. This is what nature is capable of giving us. But you all don't know that this is so useful. You resist through what? Through your fear, your psychological emotion, your worry, your anxiety. That's why some people develop panic attack, then go into depression. All these are negative emotion. Your insecurity, phobia, all those things. So what happens is, when you know how to develop awareness-based meditation, this one, awareness-based meditation, you will know how to make use of this life force. But a lot of people who do concentration, jhana, focusing, they develop a lot of what they call psychic energy. So this psychic energy actually, they actually use the thought. And the thought, when it develops all this psychic energy, they got no outlet. So most of these people get into trouble. That's why they call it the Zao Fo Yap Mo. How in English, how you describe? It backfires. You build up all this energy, that fire, that heat, that heat run away, Zao Fo, that Mara go in. So Mara go in, they attack you. A lot of people gonna. So those who know how to actually develop what the Buddha taught at that time, they can escape. The Buddha taught loving-kindness meditation. When you develop loving-kindness meditation, metta bhavana, you radiate all this energy out. That's why those who do jhana, they develop a lot of metta. Otherwise, this energy can actually destroy them. Because before you become enlightened, your bodily yin-yang energy is not balanced. Then you can actually touch some of the, what they call, nerve. Or in the Hindu teaching, they have teach, there is a name, Pungala. Huh? No, Kundalini is the general term. General term, but there are two of this, they call it chakra that goes up one. Pingala and what? There are two. One is yin and one is yang one. Then they experience a lot of problems. In the early days, I also came to know about one Singaporean, I think. Bunfei, you heard of K.C. Un or not? K.C. Un. Oh, much more senior than you. I think now he's in his 80s already. He was the one running the Theosophical Society. So that time they got a lot of this, they search for truth and all those things all over the world. They invite all their great teachers and all things. Then he happened to come to know me when there was a Thai monk, Pak Kru. He doesn't know English, so I helped to bring him there. Then he was observing me, and instead of going to the monk, he came and see me. He asked me a very funny question. Have we met? And I told him, definitely not this life. Then he talked to me for a few hours. Then he took my number. Then he introduced me to all this Hindu teaching, Kundalini, Krishnamurti, or whatever. He whole world one, they all go after. So he told me, inside their group, there is one lady. He meditate energy field. Until the yin-yang imbalance, the yang energy was so strong, he experienced so much heat. He got to take off her clothes and all those things. And a lot of, there was one mechanical engineer in Malaysia, also my senior, 5-6 years. He went and see my classmate who was a doctor. Then he keep on complaining about his problem, right? But of course he didn't describe his energy and But my classmate check him. Physically, he is quite healthy. But he keep on telling him all this problem. So you know what my classmate told you? I think you need to see my classmate. He gave him my name and my contact. And never tell me about it, until he called me. Then I said, who are you? He said, I went and see your classmate, Dr. Teo, also Teo. Then he told me all this. Oh, then I realized what he did. So I advised him not to do all this. Yeah? He kena until the energy field backfire. It affect the children, the daughter, the wife, the family, the business, everything. Karmic, the karmic hit back now, until it become very severe. But what they did was, one group of them, they go and invite a Swami from India to come and teach them Kundalini. And 30 of them, initially very interesting, energy manifested. Then after the Swami went back, nobody to guide them, every one of them get into big trouble. That's why he almost cuckoo also. He realized a lot of things go wrong. Then he contacted me. Then I taught him how to do metta to read it out. Then teach him the basic Theravada and evoke power of merits for turnaround. That's why after that he recovered. Then he wanted to know my teacher. That's why finally I brought him to see my teacher, Ajahn Yantra, then the last guy and all those things. And because of that, they recovered. And the whole group, 30 of them, they also went and see my last guy. And luckily they see my last guy. He helped them to clean it up. But my last guy told me, I said, you're terrible, all these people, I said, so much of this negative energy. He said, when he tried to like activate that gateway, and try to drain it out. He himself also cannot take it out. He said, so severe, the coming. That's why don't play with all this. So coming back to Brother Huang, sadhu to you, because you dare to try. Just like Boon Phi last retreat also said, he dared to try. Then he experienced something very good. So keep it up. Relax, continue to relax, okay? Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Anybody else? No more, then we start our sharing. Okay. Where is Manyan? Oh, Manyan, hide there. Okay, Manyan, now you take over and read for a while. This section where we are going through is on the sixth patriarch. Page 14, 2.1, start with 2.1.
2.1 definitions. Thus have I heard, implies suchness or thusness of things, or tatata. The Buddha is also called the Tathagata, meaning he is the Tathagata who is an expert in tatata or suchness. The Buddha understands truth as it is because truth is. The isness of things, or suchness, via accepting what is. 2.2. Important quotations from 6th Patriarch Hui Neng's Platform Sutra. Introduction. One day, while delivering firewood to a store, Hui Neng heard a customer reciting the Diamond Sutra and has an awakening when he heard the stanza, "The mind must have no dwelling." He immediately inquires about the sutra and decided to seek out the fifth patriarch Hong Ren at his monastery on Huang Mei Mountain. Hui Neng then embarks on his journey, and after traveling for 30 days on foot, he arrives at Huang Mei Mountain where the fifth patriarch was residing. From the first chapter of the Ming Canon version of the Platform Sutra, the fifth patriarch asked me, "Who are you and what do you seek?" I replied, "Your disciple is a commoner from Xingzhou of Lingnan. I have traveled far to pay homage to you and seek nothing other than Buddhahood. So you are from Lingnan, a southerner and a barbarian. How can you expect to become a Buddha? Asked the fifth patriarch. I replied, although people exist as northerners and southerners, in the Buddha nature, there is neither north nor south. A barbarian differs from your holiness physically, but what difference is there in our Buddha nature? Master Hongren, the fifth patriarch, immediately asked him to do chores in the rice mill. Huineng chops firewood and pounds rice at the monastery for the next 8 months.
Okay, so I ask you a similar question. Who are you? And what are you seeking? Can you answer like Huineng? You answer with the same word, no use. He really had the past. After he heard the Diamond Sutta, the mind must have no dwelling. You know how come he become like suddenly awakened? No? Do you know why or not? Anybody want to try? Why Huineng is so different? Now I repeat, the mind must have no dwelling. Does it hit you? Does it like make you feel like suddenly awakened? Don't have. You see, what happened is Huineng is a special being. That's why he's a patriarch, sixth patriarch, Liu Zhu Huineng. And this Platform Sutta is very famous because it's called Liu Zhu Tan Xing, the Platform Sutta. This is the only Mahayana Sutta which is not spoken by the Buddha. No, you realize or not? But it's included as a Mahayana Sutta because it's so penetrative and so famous. So what happened was Huineng, although illiterate that life, he has his past. He has his cultivation. He is so unique in the sense that when he was born without the mundane mind. That's why to him, he doesn't understand why human beings are different. Then when he heard all this sutta, like the Diamond Sutta, the stanza from it, he understands. No? Yeah. Especially the stanza, the mind must have no dwelling. He realized his mind doesn't dwell anywhere or not. He was born without the mundane mind, your mundane thinking mind, the heedless one. He don't have one. No? That's why to him is very clear, very straightforward. He can see things as they are. Then when that stanza hit, the mind must have no dwelling, he realized his mind doesn't dwell anywhere. Do you know how you dwell your mind or not? You ought to know how you dwell your mind. Whole day you have been dwelling everywhere. Yeah, through your thought. Not only concentration, through your thought process only. That Buddha Rupang. The moment you perceive it, you dwell there. True or not? The moment you hear my voice, you dwell there. Because you are not using your awareness to listen. Understand? If you use your awareness to listen, that is called the art of listening. It means you attentively listen. You don't dwell. You listen. Then everything go in. The clarity, everything. Even observation also same. Hearing also same. Smell, taste, tactile. When you dwell there, means what? You preoccupy with what you see, what you perceive. Eh? Then you describe the whole thing. You verbalize. And you, through your own dialogue, chattering inside there. Oh, then you can even command and do all those things. That's why you dwell everywhere. Then something like curiosity hit you, then you think you dwell there already, lost in thought. That's why dwell everywhere, because you lack mindfulness, awareness. Huineng realized his mind does not dwell. That's why he was so astonished that there is a sutta that talk about this thing. That's why he went and see the fifth patriarch. And when the fifth patriarch asked him, who are you and what do you seek? He straight away direct to the point of, I came all the way on foot, traveling, to pay respect to you, to pay homage to you, and seek nothing but Buddhahood. Means he not only seek the sainthood way to become enlightened, he want to be the Sammasambuddha. No? Then of course the fifth patriarch was also shocked. He said, who is this guy? Then he asked him, where do you come from? Then he said, your disciple is a commoner from Xingzhou of Lingnan. Then he said, I have traveled far and seek to pay homage to you and seek Buddhahood. Then after that, the fifth patriarch said, so you are from Lingnan, a southerner, where in China, those from the north are Beijing and all those things, and as a scholar, they are more educated. The southerner are less educated at that time. So to them, the southerner being less educated, they are called barbarian. So he commented and see how this Hui Ning react. So he said, you are from Lingnan, a southerner, and he purposely say a barbarian. How can you expect to be a Buddha? Asked the fifth patriarch. The way he replied was so beautiful. No? Although people exist as northerner and southerner, but within the Buddha nature, that's why he knew what that nature is. No? There is neither north or south. You see the profoundness of his understanding or not. He said, a barbarian may differ from the holiness physically, but what difference is there when we go into the nature? That's why that Buddha nature is not what you think. Yeah. That nature is the oneness nature. Nobody can own it or possess it. It is just that nature, the unconditioned nature. Yeah. In the Mahayana, they call it the original nature, means Penlai, the Mian Mu. Originally, it was like that. That's why it's the primordial, before all things arise. And sometimes they use the word the source. The scientists like to use the word the singularity. Yeah. From there, all things start. And sometimes they also call it by different name under different religion. Yeah. Of course, Buddhism say you can call it Nibbana, cessation of form and mind, the unconditioned. Then some call it the kingdom of God or whatever. So these are names given. But that thing you cannot talk about, you cannot describe it. So what happened is, if you look at us human beings, when we are deceived by the form, the external form, the form delusion, then that form delusion creates division. That's why you got northerner, southerner. Then you have all the form division based on your physical complexion. Then later on, if you can see beyond form, like I have taught you, learn to see form, the unreality of form. Then when you see the unreality of form, you can see beyond form. Then form delusion does not affect you anymore. Can follow? So if I see beyond form, I don't see your physical, I don't make prejudice based on physical appearance, what do I see? Yeah? Beyond this physical, you have a mind, I have a mind. Everybody has a mind. And that mundane mind still got difference. Understand? Where the mundane mind have views, opinion, conditioning, belief system and other things. That's why people still argue, there is still conflict, there is still war. But so much less difference already, because like male and female, gender, based on color, race, and all those things. No more. But the mind, at the thought level, you still have religious label, religious belief systems, your views, your character, everything still very different. That's why in the teaching, he said, learn to see form, the unreality of form. Then only you can penetrate and see beyond form. After you see form and go beyond form, you see mind. And mind is still a lot of division. That's why you have to learn to see mind, the unreality of mind. Then only you can see beyond mind. So when you see beyond mind, the mundane thinking, what do you see? Huh? How did your mundane thinking arise? From the? The pure awareness nature, isn't it? That's why when you see beyond form, then you see beyond mind, then you realize there is a nature which is primordial. From there, all things arise. So when I see that, that one got no division. That one doesn't belong to anybody. That's why the Buddha says, Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. Anatito. That's why Hui Ning, the reply is very good. Within that nature, you and me, same. Now you understand? Yeah? Yeah, we read on.
Becoming the sixth patriarch. One day, Master Hongren announced, the question of incessant rebirth is a momentous one. Day after day, instead of trying to free yourselves from this bitter sea of life and death, you seem to go after tainted merits only, i.e., merits which will cause rebirth. Yet merits will be of no help if your essence of mind is obscure. Go and seek prajna, wisdom, in your own mind, and then write me a stanza, gatha, about it. He who understands what the essence of mind is will be given the robe, the insignia of patriarchship, and the Dhamma, the ultimate teaching of the Chan school, and I shall make him the sixth patriarch. Go away quickly. Delay not in writing the stanza, as deliberation is quite unnecessary and of no use. The man who has realized the essence of mind can speak of it at once, as soon as he is spoken to about it, and he cannot lose sight of it, even when engaged in battle.
So this part is very important. Eh? Means the man who has realized the essence of mind, means when you have realized this essence of mind, your true nature, you can never lose sight of it. And not only that, he can speak of it at once, spontaneously. No need to refer to any books or material as knowledge or whatever. No need memory also. So this one is the characteristic of the truly enlightened being who has gone beyond even the sinhood way, means they have realized their nature. If you have realized your nature, especially those who take the bodhisattva way, you have stabilized it and you have located the gateway and penetrated it. That nature that shine forth can insight into phenomena and awaken. Then that wisdom, that awakening, wisdom and understanding is connected to the form and mind. That's why from there, the Buddha said, this one is yoniso manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience. At any time when he encounter a situation, he will know how to handle it. He will know how to deal with it. That's why he no need to recall through memory what is this, and through memory tell you or explain to you or teach you or share. No need. So this understanding is very important. The man who has realized the essence of mind can speak of it at once, spontaneously, as soon as he is spoken to about it. And he cannot lose sight of it. It means he can never, never forget one. No need to remember, yet he cannot forget. Even when engaged in a war, battlefield, that is the uniqueness of this enlightenment, this awakening. But you must realize your nature beyond the sainthood way. Sainthood way cannot. Sainthood way, maybe you only have enough wisdom to liberate from birth and death. That's why they cannot really share and teach. Maybe to the limit that they understand. And the beginning of the paragraph is most important. So Master Hongren one day suddenly announced, he said, the question of incessant birth, you know what is incessant birth, is that? Yeah? Samsara, birth and death continuously. Yeah? So the question of incessant rebirth is a momentous one. Yeah, this one not easy to overcome. Day after day, instead of trying to free yourself from the bitter sea of life and death, this one is a direct translation. Kuhai, bitter sea, 生死的苦海. That's why he said, instead of trying to free yourself from all this bitter sea of suffering or life and death, you seem to go after tinted merit only. There is merits which will cause rebirth. True or not? I realize a lot of Theravada tradition devotees, they are very fond of making merits, you remember? Donation, dana. Then when it comes to cultivation, they are not so interested. So if you chase after all this, means these are still merit, but tinted. Tinted with what? Still have greed, understand or not? The greed for merit, understand? Because there is craving to have merit, but you have not developed the wisdom, which means you only follow the first two advice. Avoid all evil, do good, to develop the tinted merit. But you have not purified your mind to develop the wisdom to awaken. So tinted merit is of no use when it comes to going through existence and life. So here he said, yet merits will be of no help if your essence of mind is obscure. Means what? Means your pure awareness nature. Obscure. Obscure by what? Your form and mind, very good. What is this form and mind? Your sankara activity, understand? Your emotion, your fear, your phobia, all this, the heedless thinking, the negative psychological mind state, they obscure. Then all of the things that you experience through your mundane mind, they are with the characteristics of impermanent, leading to suffering and empty nature, not a permanent unchanging entity. But you cannot see, another. You get yourself like engulfed and like cling, grasp and hold on to all this because you think it's real. You think it is something that you crave for. That's why the existential world, the four circle formation, is very important. First, initially, we have the what we call the pure awareness nature. Pure awareness nature. And this one, sometimes you call it the oneness nature, or the source or whatever. Then from here, the first thing to come out is your... Oh, sorry. this pure awareness nature should be here. Awareness nature. This one is the source. This one is actually... Never mind. 不用, 大概要, your true nature. Yeah? Or Buddha nature. It's okay. Yeah. Your true nature, or sometimes they call it the Buddha nature. Yeah? the oneness nature and all these things. Then the first thing to come out is your pure awareness nature. This one is very important. Then from here, it manifests the mundane mind. Then through our senses, it triggers off consciousness. That's why this one is the phenomenal world of consciousness, or we call it the PWC. So this one is the five aggregate of form and mind. So the first thing to come out from our Buddha nature or our true nature is the pure awareness, your true mind. This one is actually your true mind. And this one is the primordial. Then from here, you create the thought process, mundane mind, the five aggregate of form and mind, the two aspects. Then it triggers off the phenomenal world of consciousness with your senses, like the physics experiment. Upon contact, consciousness arises. So you input the content, then it becomes the five aggregate of form and mind, the thought. And this is how you manifest. And this phenomenal world of consciousness is the one that lure you, entice you, delude you, and draw you. That's why you attach to the external form. You attach and cling on to your idea, your thought process, your whatever views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. And this is all mind make, memory, mano. And when you cannot see clearly, you don't know how to return this to the mundane mind, then allow the mundane mind to assist through the pure awareness-based meditation to realize your true mind. You cannot understand the Dhamma. That's why Hui Ning know within this, the Buddha nature, there is no difference. Yeah. But even at the pure awareness level, there is also the unconditioned. We have no word, nothing. It cannot describe anything. But from here, all things arise. That's why the Buddha say, mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. That's why this mundane mind is a product of the pure awareness nature. And our pure awareness nature is very powerful. That's why you need to develop the meditation, awareness base. Go back to this. When all this thinking ceases, then you realize this. So what cloud is, just now the question I asked is, all your mundane thinking and activity, your senses, understand not? Every moment of consciousness, when you become conscious of what you see, you dwell there and you create all the whole chain of train of thought. Or you proliferate your thinking, your mind. And because of that, everything becomes like real to you, exists. That's why this phenomenal world of consciousness is where all the problem is. And we call this the chaotic world. You hear a lot of problem, and this is where you get yourself Leo and entice. It lures you, entice you, and cause you to deludedly grasp and cling, thinking that it's exciting, meaningful. You can gain a lot of it. You can own it, have it, experience that all these things. Not knowing that, like what we went through yesterday, how real is life and existence? The only reality is within the moment. Every moment this mundane mind arise. That moment arise, pass away. So transient. And that is the basis of life. That's only reality. So how real can life be? Because we deludedly create the illusion of time to past and future. We are seldom with the moment in the pure awareness to feel, to experience, to understand, and to be with the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Every moment, every instant is so wonderful, so pristine, you don't have your thought to interfere. But that moment in clarity is so pristine. Every moment is different. But the thought will tell you, this one's seen already. Nothing exciting. So you every time chase after what? New and better experiences. You realize or not? And this is where, without the Dhamma understanding, you don't understand life, you don't know how to live life, and you will get yourself entangled in this. So Huineng, very good. He is very smart. He knew about the Buddha nature. That's why the fifth patriarch said, okay, you talk enough, you go to the kitchen. Well, he don't want him to be like overshy and get trouble. Because people will like feel, hey, this new fellow southerner, barbarian, why given so special attention and position? So he hide him in the kitchen, thinking that it will not create trouble. But then, after that, the fifth patriarch knew it's time for them to appoint a patriarch, the sixth one, to succeed him. So he said, if you go after Tinted Merit, it's of no use, because Tinted Merit is of no help if your essence of mind is obscure. So now you understand that, right? Obscure by your mundane thinking, thought activity. Instead, he said, go and seek what? What is that word? What is prajna? Go and seek wisdom in your own? What is that mind? The pure awareness nature. And then write me a stanza about it. That's why this is what you're supposed to do. Then he said, he who understands what the essence of mind is will be given the robe, the insignia of the patriarchship, and the Dhamma, means the ultimate teaching of the Zen school. And I shall make him the sixth patriarch. So go away quickly, do not delay. Delay not in writing the stanza, as deliberation is quite unnecessary and of no use. Then he described, the man who has realized the essence of mind can speak of it at once, as soon as spoken to about it. And he cannot lose sight of it. That's why this is the uniqueness of the Dhamma. That's why the Buddha said, the Dhamma is pachetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. They no need to remember that nature. The moment is awakened to, is connected to the form and mind. That's why they will understand. Even when engaged in battle. Okay, Manyan, read on.
However, the disciples said to each other that they didn't need to write any gatha, and that surely their teacher and head monk, Venerable Shen Xiu, would become the sixth patriarch. So only Shen Xiu wrote a gatha for Master Hongren. But as the head monk, Shen Xiu was well respected, and under great pressure to produce a gatha that would qualify him as the next patriarch. However, he was uncertain as to his own understanding, and eventually decided to write a poem anonymously on the wall in the middle of the night, announcing his authorship only if Master Hongren approved of it. It is stated,
Shen Xiu Pu Ti Su Xing Lu Ming Jing Tai Si Si Qin Fo Si Wu Shi Re Chen Ai.
The body is like a Bodhi tree, the mind a mirror bright on the stand, polished until it shines, so that no dust can alight. When the disciples saw this gatha on the wall, there was a great stir, but when Master Hongren saw it, he told them, practice according to this gatha, you will not fall into the evil realms, and you will receive great benefits. Light incense and pay respect to this gatha. Recite it, and you will see your essential nature.
So this one is a very good hint by the fifth patriarch. And based on what is written here, if you are the cultivator of the way, what is your understanding of this poem by Shen Xiu? Huh? What is your understanding? Pass the mic to Brother Wong.
I think it means avoid all evil and do good by cultivating the merit and blessing.
Oh, okay. This one is beyond that, actually. you see, what happened is, Shen Xiu, based on his understanding, he has not penetrated the true mind. He has not understood the true nature within. Means, Shen Xiu is neither here nor there. Understand? Where is Shen Xiu? Shen Xiu is here. Understand? And he actually not bad. At this level, he know mindfulness is very important. Then he also came to know that according to the Theravada tradition, the Buddha's teaching, he said our physical body, the form and mind, is very useful. That's why he said our body is like a Bodhi tree. What is a Bodhi tree? Huh? Tree of enlightenment, isn't it? The Buddha got enlightened underneath there, isn't it? So this stanza, the body is like a Bodhi tree, match exactly with what Sakyamuni Buddha mentioned under the Dhammapada saying. He said, within this phantom-like body, along with perception, thought, and mindfulness or awareness, I proclaim the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that lead to the cessation. Means within the physical body, he realized the Four Noble Truths. Understand? That's why that one brings about enlightenment. So when he say our body is like a Bodhi tree, it's very good, matching. But he also know beyond that, not only Dhammapada verse on the phantom-like body, he also know in the cultivation, the four foundations of mindfulness that will bring about enlightenment in the here and the now, at the anagami level at least. And if no more fetters, or if all the fetters removed, you will become an arahant. You can realize arahantship. So he was doing the sainthood way. So he was trying to make use of that understanding that this so-called physical body has all the things that is needed to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. First foundation is what? Kaya Nupassana. Your physical body is a kaya, isn't it? True or not? That's why the first category of cultivation under the Satipatthana Sutta, the Four Foundations, is Kaya Nupassana. And there are five categories of practices. What are they? First one is basic anapanasati, to train your mind to be aware, mindful. Then after that, he said, straight away, don't go and do all the jhana or the thing. Well, he followed the other two teachers, Alara Udaka. He's not satisfied. He still cannot realize the enlightenment that's supposed to answer why he go forth and left the palace when he saw the foresight. So what he did was, he continued with the cultivation. Then he realized after anapanasati, after you have developed sati, mindfulness, stabilize it, you're supposed to go into daily mindfulness, understand not? That's why second category is mindfulness of the four postures. And this is very important. Standing, aware. Walking, aware. Lying down, aware. Sitting, aware. Then all the connecting posture, the third category of practice, sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment. That's why in that sati sampajana sutta, the Buddha said, standing aware, looking forward aware, bending, turning, stretching aware, putting on the shoulder cloth, the monk's robe and all the things, everything aware, everything you do aware, even answering nature's call, aware, mindful. But people don't understand. They say, "Ayo, answer nature's call, so aware, aware for what? Smelly, all the things." Because you don't understand. This is how you cultivate. Just aware. No need to do anything. No need to know. No need to do. The moment you develop this awareness, that kaya, that anchor your awareness to it, will make you fully aware. And this will lead to heedfulness. Because this is daily mindfulness. If you cannot be mindful throughout the day, then you will be heedless. Understand now? That's why since you know, then after you have developed the daily mindfulness, the initial wisdom will arise. That's why daily mindfulness is the key to penetrating the Buddha's teaching. That's why don't underestimate the daily mindfulness. That's why awareness-based meditation is to stabilize the inner awareness. To be aware throughout the day, most of the time. So when you understand this, then you will know what to do. That's why since you know, kaya, nupassana, I can cultivate with this physical body. Then second category, foundation is what? Vedana, nupassana. Within the form and mind, do you have feeling, vedana? You have, isn't it? That's why you can cultivate it. Then within the form and mind, do you have the citta? Citta nupassana. You can cultivate, isn't it? Then within your form and mind, how do you know the world? How do you interact with the world? Through your senses, isn't it? This is where you can learn Dhamma, truth. That's why within your six sendor, within your form and mind, within your phantom-like body, you can also develop Dhamma Nupassana. That's why the four foundation of mindfulness is there. So, what happened is, since you understand this, that's why the stanza, my body is like a bohi tree. But when he talked about the mind, he stuck here. He got it wrong. You read the second stanza, the mind is like a mirror bright on a stand. What is that mind? That is your mundane mind. Because that one keep on reflecting through your senses. And he thought there is a stand there. And a mirror bright, that to him is the awareness, or sati, But that one is not the sati. That thing that has a stand, it dwells, The true mind, pure awareness nature, never dwells, That's why what he says is, this one he thought is the true mind. He said, the mind is like a mirror bright on a stand. Then the third stanza is what? Polish it until it shines. Means fully aware until no dust can alight. So he thinks by doing that, he can become enlightened. Understand not? Means no more dust. What is dust? Defilement and all those things. But can you live life if you do that? Huh? Every day, polish until it shines, so that no means you guard your mind until he doesn't understand that wisdom free. When you have the direct seeing, you awaken with the wisdom, the upeka mind, it does not get itself stirred or affected. The wisdom is the one that free, but he's not using wisdom, he's using that sati. Polish until it shines means every time, guard it. How to live life. That's why he gets stuck. But according to the fifth Paitia, not bad. Because this is a sainthood way. To develop the anagami until arahantaship, you can. And in fact, without the four foundation of mindfulness, you can also realize the first stage of sainthood, sotapannaship, and sakadagami, the second stage of sainthood. And that is written in the 10th step of the Avijja Sutta. And you can see them very clearly. So because of that, the fifth Paitia told the monks, he said, practice according to this gatha, and you will not fall into the evil rhyme. This statement is very true there. When you are a sotapan, means you will definitely keep your five precepts, and you will not fall into the willful state, the evil eye. And you will receive great merit, because sainthood way is an enlightenment. You will receive great benefit. Say, light incense and pay respect to this gata, recite it, and from there you will see your essential nature. Means you see your pure awareness nature first, then you will realize your true nature, your essential nature, Panlaitamyanmu, original nature. That is how the fifth patriarch understood. And he's trying to hint Shen Xiu. But Shen Xiu, not that level means not that level. Cannot understand. And the fifth patriarch gave him a chance. He called him, read on, yeah, to meet up with him.
All the disciples praised and memorized the gatha. However, privately, Master Hong Ren told Shen Xiu, "You have arrived at the gate of enlightenment, but haven't entered it. With this level of understanding, you still have no idea what the Supreme Buddhi mind is. Upon hearing my voice, my words, you should immediately recognize the original mind, the essential nature, which is unborn and unceasing. At all times, see clearly in every thought, with a mind free from all hindrances. In the one reality, everything is real, and all phenomena are just as they are."
Continue.
Master Hong Ren asked Shen Xiu to compose another gatha that demonstrated true understanding. Shen Xiu tried hard but couldn't come up with another verse. When a young novice passed the rice mill reciting Shen Xiu's gatha, Hui Neng immediately knew this verse lacked true insight. He went to the wall and asked a district officer there to write a poem of his own for him. The officer was surprised. "How extraordinary! You are illiterate and you want to compose a gatha." Whereupon Hui Neng said, "If you seek supreme enlightenment, do not slight anyone. The lowest class may have great insights, and the highest class may commit foolish acts." In veneration, the officer wrote Hui Neng's gatha on the wall for him, next to Shen Xiu's, which stated,
"Pu ti ben wu su, ming jing yi fei tai, ben lai wu yi wu, he chu re chen ai."
Buddhi is fundamentally without any tree. The mind is neither a stand nor a mirror bright. Originally, there was nothing. Where can any dust alight?
So this one is very beautiful, isn't it? So now, I will explain to you, so that you understand. So when Hong Ren, the fifth patriarch, privately told Shen Xiu, "You have arrived at the gate of enlightenment, but you haven't entered it." Do you know what is the meaning or not? Huh? What is the gate of enlightenment? Means he has cultivated the four foundations of mindfulness. And when you cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness, you're supposed to develop it until the wisdom arise, understand or not? Then with the wisdom arise, you will know how to cease the form and mind and realize the enlightenment. That's why he said he has developed the four foundation until he's at the gate of the enlightenment, but he don't know how to go in. You know why? He don't know how to go in. Huh? What is his problem? No. Nothing to do with the enlightenment factor. Because he don't understand what cultivation is. I already told you, it's wisdom that free, isn't it? He's supposed to develop the wisdom to free. But what he is doing is like most vipassana people, cultivator, practitioner. Pardon me for saying that. Not all, most. You know what they do? When they don't note the rising and falling, means what? They are not doing vipassana, isn't it? So what is sensuous vipassana? He polish until it shine, you know. Because he think you have to do that, you know. If you are not doing that, means it's just like you are not doing the so-called meditation that can lead to enlightenment. So as long as, like the 6R said, you don't do the 6R, it's like you are not meditating. But they don't realize you meditate to realize the wisdom and go beyond another. So he doesn't do that. He's stuck, caught in duality. And what is the duality? He create himself, understand not? He create defilement, understand not? Means what? Wholesomeness. Yeah, thought based. Wholesomeness, understand not? Then, defilement is unwholesome mind state, understand not? Then he got the wholesome state. So this duality prevent him from understanding the wisdom. So he keep on polishing the mind like a mirror bright until no dust can alight. Means he attach and cling on to all the pure state and he reject the unwholesome defilement. So what happened is the Buddha in his teaching already taught that wisdom, but he never read it. The Buddha in Theravada tradition say, imas mean sati idang hoti. Imas mean asati idang ar hoti. What is the meaning? The Buddha said, when this arise, that arise. Means, if you create defilement, then the opposite, which is not defilement, is what? Wholesomeness, not wisdom. This is still within the field of thought, understand? So it's just like good. When you create good, whatever is not good is wrong. True enough. And you say, if this is right, whatever that is not right is wrong. Sorry. This one should be. So this is where sensu make the mistake. So the Buddha say, when this arise, that arise. This is what duality is. And the Tao, Lao Tzu's teaching, is also like that. It's very good, yin and yang. So when you manifest one side, the other side automatically exists. So you create duality. Then you want to overcome duality. That's why thought-based meditation cannot penetrate. But this is a pair. You cannot want this and reject this. You understand not? That's why the Buddha say, imas means sati. When this arise, that arise. How do you end this? When this ceases, when you don't create, automatically there is no right and wrong, good and bad. Wholesome and unwholesome, understand not? Or defilement. You see the point or not? This is how you meditate with the pure awareness nature to see that this defilement or duality are all created by your mundane mind, your mundane thinking. And this is not the direct seeing. The direct seeing see things as they are, understand not? That's why certain seal doesn't know how to end this mundane mind. It doesn't know how to develop the wisdom so that the mundane mind realizes itself and cease. When you don't create, means what? There is no craving, understand not? You don't crave after right and wrong, good and bad, wholesome, unwholesome. You don't labor those mind state as defilement. That's why the Buddha is an expert in sajna, tatata. He can see things as they are. No right, no wrong. No good, no bad. Thing is just the way it is. Deluded people do deluded things. They are just the way they are. It's not about right and wrong, manasana. The world is the world. We are conditioned like that. Things will be like that. There is suchness. But sensu doesn't understand. That's why when the Fifth here is very wise. He gives a hint to Huineng. To Sen Siu. He said, you are at the gate of enlightenment, but you haven't entered it. With this level of understanding, you still have no idea of what the Supreme Bodhi Mind is. But he hinted to him, he said, upon hearing my words, you should immediately recognize your original mind, the essence of your true nature, means the essential nature, which is unborn. He somehow hinted to him, no, unborn and unceasing. But that nature is a nature, it's not a being. No. It cannot come out and live life. That's why it's unborn. And it doesn't have condition to manifest. That's why unceasing. No arising, no ceasing. 不生不灭. At all times, see it clearly in every thought. Means what? You must develop the stability of this inner awareness so that you are always with that awareness nature. That is what you're supposed to develop as understanding. Then only the mind can be free of all mental hindrance and all the duality. So in the one reality, everything is, what is that word? And all phenomena are just as they are. Means when you realize this, then you will know all phenomena is just the way it is, suchness. Understand? Based on the five panchaniyama. Then in the one reality, everything is real. Understand? But this one is exists. Understand? But it's not a conditioned world. It's the unconditioned. You have to realize it, understand? You have to awaken to it. You have to go beyond the mundane thinking. That's why beyond thought, beyond mind. That is what the Dhamma is. So now you understand? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then, what is the difference between Huineng's poem and Sen Siwan? He completely tear it apart, isn't it? Why? Because he has realized this. He knows there is a Buddha nature. But he doesn't know how to apply the understanding of using the pure awareness nature and the mundane mind to live life. Understand? That's why he needs to see the Fifth Patriya. And later on in the teaching, when he met with the Patriya later on, when we read, the Patriya explained to him the Diamond Sutta. Then he came to a partner, he said, this mind, he said, actually referring to the mundane mind, you must know how to use it and yet not deceived by it. He become completely enlightened, fully enlightened. Because that is the last secret, how to live life. Understand? But this one, although it's not real, impermanent, not what you think, but this is a reality within existence, understand not? And to live life, you must know how to use it, but yet not deluded by it, understand not? This is how, since you become like greatly awakened, no? Ahuineng, sorry. Then he, after that, he can explain to the Fifth Patriya, how amazing is it that this nature is complete on its own. How amazing. Nothing is apart from this nature. Where from this nature, all things arise. Understand not? That's why the teaching is so profound, so beautiful. And to penetrate this, you cannot go by the usual, the so-called thought-based teaching. Or limited by just the Theravada traditions, what they call that type of sutta thing that you don't have the enlightened being to explain to you. Because what has been taught is the traditional so-called knowledge-based, scholar-based type of traditional teaching. And they cannot link to all this that is in the Mahayana teaching. That's why to them it's like Mahayana, like not right. A lot of things they cannot link, cannot explain, cannot comprehend. But when you understand, there is no difference, isn't it? Any difference, huh? When you understand, thing is just the way it is. That's why Sakyamuni Buddha, he has this perfection and wisdom as a Sammasambuddha. That's why he taught actually only the truth, Dhamma. But human beings break it into Theravada tradition, Mahayana tradition, and Vajrayana tradition. How did it come about? Because the human mind, what is Theravada tradition? Yeah? What is the meaning? Thera. Ah, the elders, understand? Means these are the conservative group, understand not? Anything not sure, chop it off, understand not? Don't want to take in. That's why they call them the Hinayana last time. Small vehicle. They don't like the word, understand not? Small vehicle. Then Mahayana is the big vehicle. So they got very, very upset. And because of that, they changed to Theravada, means the teaching of the elders. But their teaching is called what? Orthodox teaching. You heard of that word? Orthodox means very traditional, understand or not? Whatever, not sure, chop. And you, based on that, you are limited, understand or not? That's why all these are division from the mind. The Buddha never teach Theravada, Mahayana, and Vajrayana. The Buddha teach only the Dhamma, understand or not? Of course, he got the various type of sutta to explain when he went up to the mother who has been reborn in the Tawatinsa heaven, Tusita heaven, where he preached the Mahayana teaching, the so-called Mahayana teaching, because that teaching is different when he was up there. And he manifests a transformation body up there. That's why all this, when you understand, then it becomes like very clear to you. Mm. Then come to Shen Xiu, because he got this understanding. How did he tear? Hui Neng. How did he tear Shen Xiu's poem apart? The first stanza of Shen Xiu is Shen Ru Pu Ti Su. The body is like a Bohi tree. Then his opening stanza is what? The first stanza. Pu Ti Peng Wu Su. Bohi is not a tree, understand or not? Bohi is wisdom. That's why he doesn't know wisdom free. Bohi is wisdom. It's not a tree, understand or not? Pu Ti Peng Wu Su. Then the Ming Jing Tai, the Xing Ru Ming Jing Tai, he tear it apart. No? Ming Jing Yi Fei Tai. But that is the mundane mind, understand? That is not the true mind, understand? It's without the stand, understand? Then he said, Ben Lai Wu Yi Wu. Originally there was nothing. Why you going to create defilement and wholesomeness? Why you want to polish it until it shines so that no dust and light? He said, originally there was empty, nothing inside there. That's why when the understanding is there and the understanding not there, the two poem actually completely different. So now you understand. Originally there was nothing. Means what? Your true mind has nothing, isn't it? No duality, no word, nothing, isn't it? Then, 本来, 无一无, originally, there was nothing. That one I explained. Because in the pure awareness nature, it's just that nature. No thought, nothing, no duality. Understand or not? That's why he said, originally, that mind, that true mind, is empty. Then, where can the dust alight? 何处惹尘埃? Which means, the dust created by your mundane thinking that manifests as duality, you cling on to it, understand? That's why he cannot penetrate. That's why huining, no. Originally there was nothing. So what is there to cultivate? Understand or not? You understand or not? Originally no duality, you didn't create. Well, there is no mundane mind that has that delusion to create. That's why originally means Ben Lai Wu Wu. Well, that refers to the true mind. The true mind has nothing. Before the creation, how can he have anything? No word, no concept, no duality. That's why when you understand that this one originally is empty, well, from here all things arise, but within is the unconditioned, empty. Then where can that duality, that one creator delusion, alight? It cannot stay there. Well, this true pure awareness nature is just an awareness nature. It doesn't attach, cling, deludedly, grasp, and hold on to all this creation, which he has awakened to. That's why there is no way this one can give him trouble. So, Huining, Tai Shen Xiu's poem apart with that understanding. So with that, we will continue with the reading.
Huinan then went back to rice pounding. However, this gatha created a bigger stir. Everyone was saying, "Amazing, you can't judge a person by his looks. Maybe he will become a living bodhisattva soon." However, when Master Hong Ren came out, he just casually said, "This hasn't seen the essential nature either," and proceeded to wipe the gatha off with his shoe. The fifth patriarch then went secretly to the room where the rice was pounded. Seeing that Huineng was working there with a stone pestle, he said to him, "A seeker of the path risks his life for the Dharma. Should he not do so?" The fifth patriarch then asked, "Is the rice ready?" Huineng replied, "Ready long ago, only waiting for the sieve." The fifth patriarch then knocked the mortar thrice with his stick and left. Knowing what the fifth patriarch meant, in the middle midnight at the third wash, Huineng went to the fifth patriarch's room. That night, Master Hong Ren received Huineng in his abode and expounded the Diamond Sutra to him. When he came to the passage, "To use the mind yet be free from any attachment," Huineng came to great enlightenment. Then all Dharma are inseparable from the self nature. He exclaimed, "How amazing that the self nature is originally pure. How amazing that the self nature is unborn and undying. How amazing that the self nature is inherently complete. How amazing that the self nature neither moves nor stays. How amazing that all Dharma come from this self-nature."
So the last stanza is most important. How amazing that all Dharma come from that self-nature, that true nature. That's why from this true nature, the first thing to come out is a pure awareness nature. But to assess this, you need a form and mind. You need to be born into the existential world. That's why there is a karmic nature that can give you the condition to be born into the existential world. Then, when you are born into this existential, there is a form and mind. For our case, this is a human being, understand not? So for our case, this one is a human being. So as a human being, you have the physical body, you have the mind. But this mind, there are two mind. One is the true mind, which is this one, the original one, that is responsible for the creation of the mundane thinking. That's why the five aggregate of form and mind, second aspect, the thought, that one is Sankara. That one is the Chitta. That one is the one that actually developed this mundane mind, mundane thinking. All of creation. From there, it creates the phenomenal world of consciousness. So when you understand the movement, then you understand this is very important. This is the primordial. This was there all the while. This is unborn, undying. But you need a form of mind for you to come, understand not? That's why the purpose of this teaching is to let you know that when you come as a human being or any living being, you can still cultivate. But as a human being, it's the best. Because here you have the complete experience, yeah, of suffering and non-suffering. You can have enlightened being, you can have suffering being, and you can experience hell when your karmic condition is such. That's why you will experience them. So in fact, if you read the sutta, the Buddha in fact mentioned most of the Sammasambuddha, when they become Sammasambuddha, they like to take birth within the human realm. Understand not? That this is the place where all the reality manifests. So what happened is, to transform this, to develop wisdom so that you can return to this pure awareness nature, to realize that you have a nature within, which is the unborn and other things. Then when this nature develops the wisdom and the understanding through the direct seeing, then it understands what this is and what this is. Then it is not deluded by it. Then it will know how to develop the enlightenment until the mundane mind ceases and the pure awareness also ceases. You return to this. So not everybody can come into contact with this pure awareness nature to return. Without a form and mind, this is impossible. That's why the cultivation is so complicated and not easy. Without this understanding, you cannot do it. Because what is being cut off is here. Living being born into this as a human being, as a living being, they create this delusion, and through the karmic process, they play with the phenomenal world of consciousness. That's why insistent birth and death, understand? Continuous. To break free is to understand that this one, the form and mind, is not you, but it's a vehicle and tool for you to come, and through this you can meditate to realize the gateway to return, to stabilize it, to return. You can do the same way also, and free. But the Bodhisattva way, you need to develop the four support, which is the gateway, to come back to here. Then from here, you will know how to cease and develop this pure awareness nature meditation until you can illuminate this nature. That's why the Bodhi mind that illuminates the nature is the third stage of Bodhi mind development. Then when he completely illuminates, he will understand the unreality of all this, and he will know samsara is no more a problem. That's why the fourth stage of Bodhi mind development is Bodhi mind that can renounce samsara. Samsara is no more an issue. The birth and death, to them, is wonderful existence. Understand? It's no more like before. Before you have this understanding. That's why the Mahayana teaching, the teaching that lead you to the supreme vehicle to realize Sammasambuddhahood, is a very, very complete teaching that can understand all creation. That's why it goes back to that nature. And that nature is the missing link that scientists cannot understand and penetrate. If you don't meditate, you cannot. So, although science has progressed and developed a lot of breakthrough to understand what our universe is, but the more they know, the more they don't know. Because too massive the universe, too extensive. And all this scientific law, they study until they're also very confused, because it happened at, now they talk about multi-universe, parallel universe, and a lot of quantum level type of thing, and they are still learning. Yeah. Because they cannot penetrate this pure awareness nature, you cannot understand the totality of what the universe is. Yeah. Okay, so Man Yuan, finish it.
Master Hong Ren told Hui Nen, if one recognizes the original mind and the original nature, he is called a great man, teacher of gods and humans, and a Buddha. He passed the rope and the begging bowl as a symbol of the Dharma seal of sudden enlightenment to Hui Nen. Although this story is as clearly stated as it can be, it should also be noted that Hui Nen was not permitted to make himself known as the sixth patriarch until later on. This was due to the fear that his fellow monks might be angered and harm him, that he had been made the sixth patriarch and not Shen Xiu, or one of the other monks who had seniority over him.
So this is why the sixth patriarch Black Form Sutta is so unique and beautiful. And this is the only sutta not spoken by the Buddha, but given the credit like the Sammasambuddha. That's why the sixth patriarch Black Form Sutta is very famous and very penetrative, because not until the arising of this sixth patriarch Hui Nen, Mahayana couldn't take off. If you read the what they call history behind, when Bodhidharma came as the first patriarch within the Mahayana tradition, he encountered a lot of problems too. Even the emperor cannot understand him. And he just walked away. It seems according to the Mahayana Sutta, he sat facing the wall for 9 years. Then the emperor sent the general to get him. So all these things you can see. Then after that, he did predict to the second patriarch, Shen Xiu. Second patriarch is who? Hui Ke. Then the second patriarch also got a lot of problem. Third patriarch also a lot of problem. Fourth patriarch also a lot of problem. They got to lie low and all these things. But at that time, I think there was some misunderstanding with the ruling emperor and all these things. So they were hunted. But when it comes to the fifth patriarch, Hong Ren, is much better already. That's why it was predicted by Bodhidharma when he transmitted the teaching to his close disciple. He told the second patriarch, he said, after the arising of the sixth patriarch, you will pass over the rope and the insignia as the last one. Then after that, tell him not to pass anymore. Well, by then, he said, the teaching would have taken roots and everything would have stabilized. That's why you need the coming of the sixth patriarch to establish the teaching. Before the sixth patriarch, a lot of the teaching were not clear. You realize this teaching is so profound, so penetrative. You go and read the Maya teaching, all the sutra, they never teach you until like that. But Hui Nen is very special. His nature, he can have the condition to come and take birth, born without the mundane mind. That one is extraordinary. My nature also cannot. I come with a mundane mind. I carry until the age of 35, 1989. Then 9 months later, after I detected the gateway, then the thing collapsed. And then only I have that nature like him. But I still need to cultivate. There's a lot of things to do. That's why since 1989, how many years are it? 30 over years, 36 years.
There's a question online from Zoom. Sister Chui asked, Brother Teo,
the word self-nature, can you explain it again, please? I read it to mean the self-nature is the original nature without any relationship to the mundane self. So the self nature equals original nature. Is that correct, please? So self nature is anatta. You use the word self, nature.
Okay.
Sorry, typo.
No problem. I think I know what Chui is trying to aim at. So what is happening is forget about the word, because people may not understand the word. Because sometimes people like to use this word, it refers to your nature. Understand? It's like the Buddha nature means the Buddha that realizes the thing has that nature. That's why he has a Buddha nature. But before you become a Sammasambuddha, actually you don't have a Buddha nature. But this nature doesn't belong to anybody. Understand? This one, in the teaching, the Mahayana teaching, it says it's original nature. Original nature means originally it was already there. Penlai de mianmu. The Buddhist Mahayana description is very good. Penlai de mianmu, original, means at the beginning. Because it's the unborn. Because it's unborn, it doesn't go to the condition was old age, sickness and death. And there is no such thing as birth. Because it's unborn, it's undying. But this one is a nature, this one is not a being. So people can call it self-nature, true nature, no different. But don't try to understand this now. Develop the cultivation, at least to realize the pure awareness nature first, your true mind. Then when you realize this, from there you cultivate, the wisdom will allow you to realize the cessation of form and mind, which is Nibbana. And when you realize Nibbana, then you will understand what this is. Because that realization is, the pure awareness also sees. That's why you merge with this thing. But within there is nothing. That's why the Buddha said, you cannot talk about it, you cannot describe it, because that is the nature within. And from there, all things arise. And that self nature is complete by itself. So don't try to understand this before you realize this and cease. But when you realize this and cease, then you take the Mahayana Bodhisattva way, then you slowly develop the wisdom that is more extensive and more profound, so that you can understand what this nature is. That's why Bodhi mind, the third stage of Bodhi mind that illuminate this nature, means you already detected the gateway and your pure awareness nature can be accessed. And you use the force support trust to let the nature move. Then it transforms inside until the whole nature illuminates. Means bright, clear, luminous, and you understand everything. And this one is very powerful. This one can understand a lot of things. Yeah. Then through the understanding, the wisdom becomes very extensive. Then it will reach the stage where it understands that samsara is no more an issue. That's why Bodhi mind that renounce samsara. Then after that, the perfection of the 10 perfection to realize the Sammasambuddhahood is no more a problem. But from there onward, you can keep on coming and manifesting and develop the perfection of it. Then you can realize the ultimate Sammasambuddhahood. Means your virtue and wisdom have reached that type of perfection that make you a Sammasambuddha. And according to the Mahayana teaching or the Sakyamuni Buddha's teaching, all Sammasambuddha, they may be different in the way they cultivate and the way they develop the enlightenment, the realization and the perfection. But all Sammasambuddha are of equal. Yeah, the perfection has been perfected. Understand? But that is their nature, understand? And even after the Samasa Buddha passed away, like Sakyamuni Buddha, you must understand the Buddha nature is still there. The karmic nature is still there. And if he want to come, he can still come. But he can never come as a Samasa Buddha again. That is only once. The whole existence, you can only have once. Understand? That's why a lot of this Bodhisattva way, if you don't take the way, you cannot understand. Because this Bodhisattva way need understanding. Like you all learn under the Theravada tradition. After you die, if the last thought moment got no avijja, what happened? No more rebirth, isn't it? That's why Arahan don't come back, isn't it, they say. Then how did Bodhisattva come back? How did the Buddha perfect until so long, 3¾ asaṅkhaya kappas, to realize full enlightenment? Means they have a way to come, understand? And they don't come to the normal rebirth where they have to die ignorant, understand? Avijja. So the Bodhisattva way is because of their four basic vows, which is very powerful, very unique, especially the first vow. They vow to liberate all beings. And what is that mind? Out of love and compassion for the living being, they vow to come, life after life, to liberate all living beings. And what is that vow? Born of pure love and compassion, no avijja, understand? And because they make that vow, and this vow is, you realize the four basic vows of the Bodhisattva involve the existential world, understand? That's why it triggers a pure mind to take rebirth, where they got a karmic nature. They only need a pure thought, understand? Which is love and compassion. They said from there, the Bodhisattva knew through the Buddha's teaching and knowledge or whatever wisdom. They know they can actually take the Bodhisattva way and come back again in a form and mind, but without delusion. That's why Bodhi is enlightenment. Satta is a being, enlightened being that come back for rebirth. Understand? Okay? Let Alicia share.
Hello. Good afternoon, Brother Dio. Oh, good morning. Good afternoon. Brother Dio, 我想 share 的是，其实，我很多的感动和发心。其实，我不是第一次听 Brother Dio 分享这个六祖坛经。但是今天，我一听到 Brother Dio 讲那个。那个 true nature 就是我们的 Buddha nature， 没有分别，就是你我都有。其实我很多的发心，而且我对这个整个 lesson 非常的感动，所以感恩 Brother Dio， 感恩所有的开阿弥陀跟我一起。
Let us rejoice. Because Alicia can understand. She detected the gateway quite some time back and penetrated and developed the understanding quite well. Even Po Cheng, they can understand. So for her, this retreat sharing is so different because they have reached the stage where they can understand all this. That's why all this surface, even Ng B, they all will know, is so different this year. And before I come, I already told a lot of Kayamita, this retreat is going to be very different. Yeah, a lot of Kayamita has progressed, and you have that affinity to receive all this teaching. And if you continue with this understanding and follow the yellow card and take the Bodhisattva vow sincerely, then develop the faith to persevere, all this can manifest, and you will become very different. Maybe by the next sasana, your nature can be as good as my nature. Because this way, you progress very fast. You don't have to wait for non-sasana to roam around the samsara or It's just like people say, go for holiday. You get lost for so long. Then wait for the next window, which is a sasana again. Only got condition to take birth again and learn this teaching. That process of learning is very slow. But if you make that type of aditan, the aspiration based on what I have taught you, you aditan with your merits and understanding, so that life after life, whenever you choose to come or have to come, you arise, this understanding will be with you, based on whatever you have learned. That itself can prevent you from slowing down. Because even you born during the non-sasana, somehow that vow, that aditan, it will develop the movement in the bodhi mind, that nature inside there, will actually move and give rise to the causes and conditions for this understanding to come to you. That's why my nature know this is what I have discovered and developed. And Maitreya in the year 2008 came and request, asked me to share, 请你把正法传下去. So that message has two parts. The true Dhamma is to merge the Theravada teaching with the Mahayana teaching. The second part is the Bodhisattva way that my nature discovered and can shorten a lot of the training and progress. That's why with this, more and more sophisticated understanding can arise. Because when people learn from each Bodhisattva with a unique way to manifest and teach, they progress. Just like our civilization, we learn from each other. And the more we understand, the more people can improve on it and improvise on it so that the progress can be sustained. Yeah. You look at the last 30, 40 years, the world civilization supposed to be recorded 5,000 over years. But over the last 5,000 over years, it has got no match for the last 30, 40 years. Do you realize? The last 30, 40 years, we progress so fast. So this type of understanding will, like bullet train, take you very fast. So we all should rejoice. I have to end already, 12:06 already. Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Those who are supposed to... Oh, now it's lunch already. 11:45 years now, the one on duty already gone. Okay, you pay your respect, then we leave.